Hey everyone, welcome back to the Selly Hard Podcast. I'm Tom Chorsky, and we're going to get to Winnie Bro Brown here in a second, and our today's guest. We're coming to you live from the St. Paul River Center, the Expo, the State High School Hockey Tournament. It's awesome. Today's episode is brought to you by Jimmy's Salad Dressings and Dips, and it's officially dip season. We've got sports going on, especially the hockey season here. We've got Final Four coming down the pipe here. We got the championship game tonight. Jimmy's is great for your vegetables. Uses only the grade A sour cream, the highest quality ingredients. Jimmy's has ranch, smoky ranch, spinach, fruit dips. Go to your produce section at grocers like Cub. Pick up a veggie tray at Quick Trip or Holiday. And whether you're looking to grab a healthy snack or you want to show up at the party looking like a hero, Jimmy's has you covered. Don't you be messing with the dressing. Get some Jimmy's. Enjoy the game.
The Selly Hard Podcast is sponsored by the Heights Racket and Social Club. Does the sound of someone hitting a pickleball make you salivate? Elevate your experience and raise your game with limited membership and unlimited court time on the best playing surface in the Midwest. Located just off 35E in Mendota Heights, the Heights has three racket sports under one roof: pickleball, the international sensation paddle, and more squash than your neighborhood farmer's market. Join because of your racket sport passion. Tell people it was because of the amenities: full gym, sauna, showers, and dedicated social areas. Ditch the box gym and be part of something bigger at the Heights Racket and Social Club. You belong at the Heights. Visit heightsracketmn.com for more info.
Okay, so Jimmy's is bringing this episode. I'm excited for this episode. It's been a little while, Winnie. Joined by Winnie Bro Brown, as usual. The first Miss Hockey and the current owner of all the hockey and girls hockey, OS Hockey, former Gopher, former U.S. multi-team, all that good stuff. And we've already declared that we're both Olympian rejects.
Yep.
We're going to find out what... We're going to find out what our guests today, what teams they've made, and which one they've been rejected from as well. So, Winnie, I'll let you take it from here, and let's have some fun today.
Yeah, so we have two special guests here, Michaela Boyle and Liz Sheppers, and thank you for being here. I know you guys are super busy, and I know, Liz, with your professional schedule, it's tough to squeeze in, and we're just honored to have you guys. So, and get to know you, and we know you, but our guests get to know you. So, just a...
I got to get to know
this,
them, too.
I know, right, yeah. So on these, Tom always says we like to have education and entertainment for our viewers. So let's get a little background. Liz, let's start where you started. How did you even get into hockey?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having us on. We're super excited to be here at the Expo. It's a great time of year for hockey. So to be a part of this is super exciting. I'm from Mound. That's where I grew up. That's where I played all my youth hockey up and through high school. And then... You know, obviously we're doing the OS summer programs and stuff like that, so I've known Winnie for a long time. And then for college hockey, I played 5 years at Ohio State. Lucky to have a lot of great success there, be a part of some special teams, and really see that program change a lot over my career and see it continue to reach new heights every season. And following college, spent a year with the Whitecaps in the PHF, and then with everything that happened last summer, was lucky enough to land myself back in Minnesota as a part of the PWHL.
Awesome. Now, Miss Boyle, her dad, Mike Boyle, the famous trainer out east.
That's where I saw it.
Yes,
I saw his
Body
post.
By Boyle. Remember that?
Yep.
I used to wear that shirt. Yep. And he was the big trainer for Team USA for the women's hockey program. So let's get a little background because she's from Boston.
Yes. So I grew up 20 minutes north of Boston in a town called Reading. I was fortunate enough that we had really good youth hockey programs there. Both boys and girls, so I spent time playing with the girls and then played a few years of boys before heading to play 2 years of Catholic high school hockey, and then I made the jump to play for the Boston Shamrocks, which was a under-19 team that played kind of the typical boys junior schedule of like 80-90 games a season all over the U.S. and Canada. And so for me, that ended up being, you know, what eventually got me recruited. I committed to Clarkson when I was a sophomore and then played my time through at Shamrocks, and then went to Clarkson my freshman year. We won the national championship here, actually, at Ritter, which was pretty cool. We did beat Liz's Ohio State team in the semifinals.
Nice.
I had a nice view. Yeah. No, I had the VIP view from the bench. I didn't. Warm-ups was my time to shine that year.
And Liz is also humble. She also won a national championship.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. But yeah, so keep going.
And then came back sophomore year and had to have my shoulder reconstructed. So ended up redshirting. And then I spent 2 years at Robert Morris in Pittsburgh. And then, unfortunately, heading into my senior year, they cut the hockey programs, both men's and women's. So then I finished at Boston College and got my master's degree from there. And then I played a year for the Buffalo Buttes in the PHF. And then now, you know, with everything that happened in hockey and how, you know, small the pool had gotten, I really decided that maybe this was the time to chase my dreams of, you know, being a coach one day. So now I'm coaching full time and making it, you know, making it a living and living out my dream.
That's awesome. So a little bit into the recruiting process, because Michaela had talked about her kind of recruiting process. Let's go back to, you stayed at Mound for high school. There's a lot of different options that kids can do. Why did you decide to stay and play high school hockey in Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky to have a special group that I was kind of growing up with. Probably played with the same core group of 6-7 kids from when I was 5 years old to when I was 18 years old. So that was something that I'm honestly still really passionate about. Like, I love my public high school experience and my hockey experience. You know, you get different things from each kind of route you take. Like, in Mound, I was able to be, you know, a leader from a really young age. I was able to have a lot of responsibility from a really young age, and versus maybe trying to go fill a role somewhere else. Just the pride of being from a small school, and we had success. We went to the state tournament twice, a couple conference championships. So it was fun, and it just means a little bit more to me personally when you're playing for the same community that you grew up in your whole life. So definitely meant my recruiting process looked a little different. Like, obviously, Winnie knows I didn't commit to playing college until I was a senior in high school, which at the time was pretty unheard of in terms of, especially, you know, I ended up going to a great program in Ohio State. So I was super lucky and don't have any regrets about the path I took to get to where I am today. But I would definitely say it's a little unique, especially with the way things are now.
Yeah, and to kind of touch on that is, I always tell kids, everyone's recruiting process is different, and you just got to sometimes wait it out, and you got to just know that the right decision is coming down the pipeline. And a lot of people, I think with social media, to be honest, like, everyone wants instant answers.
Yep.
And it's,
well,
you got to be a person of patience.
Right.
And
they see people around them committing.
Yeah.
And it feels like, why are they getting to commit? I'm not, all that. Well,
yep. We didn't have that time.
No,
no one even knew we were going anywhere when we were coming up. It was like our family. I remember signing my letter of intent at my kitchen table, putting it in the envelope and sending it off. So I think that's where families and kids, and you guys could maybe both speak on this. What is it, the patience, like, what helped you be okay with that? Like, what did you guys both, like, stay focused on when you were going through that process?
I mean, my class coming out of high school and into college is, like, absolutely loaded.
Is that why it was longer for you?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, you just look at it now and you're, like, wondering, why wasn't I doing this, when all these other players were? And it's like, well, I'm not those players, you know what I mean?
So,
like, especially at that age.
Who are these players that you're talking about?
Grace Umwinkle, like, there are so many. I feel like across college too, like, you just saw that class.
Yeah, your class was
really
a big,
so you were overshadowed.
You could say,
rightfully so. Honestly, they were studs and still are. But I think my family played a huge part in it. Like, there were definitely times where I was frustrated or discouraged by it, but you know, they kept me very level-headed, and they also aren't the people to be out there telling me, oh, you're better than her, you should be doing this. Like,
but they kept you encouraged too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, their big thing was it's people's job to find good players, and if you keep doing the right things, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter where you're playing, like, it's somebody's job to find you if you're worth finding. And that's really been or was really helpful for me, and it's something that, again, I still really believe in.
Yeah, and my personal being able to coach her, like, if you called her up at any time of the day and you needed a player, guess who's coming?
She'd be there. That's
good.
She'd
be there, right? And so it's, coaches see that stuff, and they see the rink rats, because you can't really teach that, like, as a coach. No one can
Teach passion.
You can't teach passion, right? And, you know, both these two, that's why they're still highly involved, and that's why they're coaching and playing and giving back to the game, because that's what it takes. Because it's more, I tell people with what I do, it's not work, it's a passion, and it's something I love to do, and no one's telling me I have to do it.
So multi-sport athlete? Did you play other sports?
Not really.
Okay.
Not much in high school.
Neither did my daughter, really. Yeah. I mean,
how about you, Boyle?
I played soccer. Oh, yeah. I played soccer, and I was a diver, actually.
Okay.
Not in high school, but middle school. Fun fact.
I did not know that.
Yes, at the local country club.
Could you say that diving, did it help you at all in hockey?
No, I was just fearless and a little crazy, and my dad thought it would keep me entertained.
Okay.
So I signed up for dive team.
Oh, that's good.
So you never got nervous going up there?
No, not when I was a kid. Now, I think everything kind of freaks me out, but back then I had no fears.
Because I know individual sports. I always tell people, like, if parents want mental training, just put them in an individual sport.
Yeah.
Because when you go up there, it's like all you. And that's why I think golf is the best sport for mental training.
Yeah, because
you're by yourself for 5 hours, and if you have a bad hole, bad shot,
you have to bounce back,
and you have to play the whole time.
And you got to concentrate and focus. I don't know how you do it.
That's why hockey is so fun.
Well, since you still have the mic, let's. Let me think. And you're from out east, so let's talk about your recruiting process. How did that go? You said you committed at a pretty young age.
Yeah, I was 15, I think, when I committed, and. You know, I did the classic tour of anything out east because I was like, I'm not leaving New England. You know, my dream, my dad was a coach at Boston University for 25 years, and so I really wanted to play in the bean pot. Like, that was one of my goals young as a kid.
And got it.
Obviously, it didn't work out until the end. I got to play in my first bean pot, which was pretty cool, but I think, like Liz talked about and Winnie touched on, everybody's recruiting process is different, and clearly being a triple transfer, I didn't get the recruiting process down right the first time. I think there's a lot of, you know, work and questions you need to ask, and you can't just be blinded by, you know, what you see on your visit. You need to make sure that that's just not a picture that's being painted for you of what, you know, what this experience is going to be like, but what is it actually going to be like? Talk to players, you know, reach out to anyone you may know that is connected to that school that you're looking at, because sometimes you might not get the truth in that initial recruiting. They want you to sign the paper, right? And so fortunately enough for me, you know, entering the portal, again, same thing. I wanted to go back east. I wanted to be at home. And it was like no after no after no after no. And I'm like, I know I didn't play a ton at Clarkson, but I was like, I just won a national championship. And I thought that, you know, maybe someone out east would take a chance on me. And then good old Robert Morris called me up, and I was like, you know what, it's worth a shot. I have to take a look. I was actually had a conversation that morning that Robert Morris reached out to me about looking at Division III schools, because I was like, nothing seems to be working out.
Right.
And then, you know, went to Robert Morris, and my dad and I looked at each other, and we were like, it's really hard to not like this. And so ultimately ended up going there and was really fortunate. I mean, the head coach, Paul Colantino, who's now the head of hockey at BK Selects, took a chance on me. He had never seen me play. And fortunately enough, Logan Biddle, who is now the head coach there, I guess convinced him to take me, and the rest was kind of history. I couldn't have enjoyed my 2 years more there. I wish I would have, you know, been able to end my career in a Colonial jersey, but obviously, you know, opportunities led me to Boston College and got to live out that childhood dream of playing in a bean pot. And my dad wasn't necessarily pleased having to cheer for the Eagles, but it was nice to be at home and finally have that chance to, you know, play in front of family and friends and just be around. It was my brother's senior year of high school, so I was able to watch him play his high school hockey and really just be present in that family aspect of life that I kind of missed out on while I was away.
Cool. Yeah, one last question. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to do a little follow-up question, because she made a comment about Robert Morris, you know, their program being cut, like North Dakota was cut for the women, which was devastating for a lot of kids that I had coached. But now some people might not know that they reinstated the team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so Robert Morris is back. They made the College Hockey America semifinals this year. Obviously a brand new team. There are only four girls that I played with that returned back and kind of stuck it out through the reinstatement process. I think a lot of us would have loved to be able to go back, but at some point your eligibility does expire. You will have used it all up. But I'm so happy they're back. I think that I took on a lot in trying to help kind of spearhead the reinstatement just from the women's side, because I was so passionate about my experience there. So to just kind of see it all come to life, and we were able to go back for the first weekend of games at Robert Morris, and it was really special. So,
yeah, so I was just going to touch on the triple transfer thing. Like, that sounds pretty hectic.
Yeah.
Just how hard was it, or how did you hold it together, or, I mean, what? Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was hard. I would say hard in two very different ways when it happened. You know, when I was leaving Clarkson, you know, I knew I needed a new change of scenery, a new opportunity. I felt like I wasn't necessarily going to become the person or the player that I wanted to be there. And that was different in the sense of I was recovering from an injury. You know, I wasn't mentally doing great just because I had lost the one thing I had always had my whole life, which was hockey. I was trying to figure out who I was without hockey in that time.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. And a lot of credit to, you know, my dad and my mom, because they, like Liz had touched on earlier, like, they kept me sane. They kept me, you know, seeing the bigger picture and the light at the end of the tunnel, even on those days that, you know, nothing was working out.
Right.
I remember being told that I couldn't walk on at Merrimack.
Right.
And I cried for about 2 hours in my car after, because that was the point where I felt degraded.
That's hard, yeah.
It was really hard. But I think, you know, every step of the adversity that I went through led me to the opportunity to become, you know, the player and person I wanted to be when I got to Robert Morris. And I wouldn't change, you know, any setback or adverse moment for the world. So, yeah. And then the second time around with Robert Morris, it was just really unfortunate. We got a email saying we had a very important Zoom call in 10 minutes and we had to be on it, and I was at my cousin's pool, sitting by the pool to get in a tan in the summer. You know, I'd just gotten back from school and
your life changed
in a 7-minute Zoom call, and before I had even had the chance to get off the phone with calling my dad after the meeting, they had already put it on social media, so there was no time to process. And then it's like, it's May 26th, you have to find a place to go if you want to go somewhere, you know, August 30th. Yeah. So it just became pure panic mode. Because it's like, there are only so many spots, and it's May. Most teams are already set. So that was just a more hectic experience for me. I was not far enough along in school to finish my senior year of schooling by September, but I wasn't, you know, slowed down enough to continue. So I actually had to miss all of first semester.
Okay.
And I was fortunate enough, I got to practice with the Boston Pride and keep playing. But I started at BC mid-year. So it was just a very, you know, odd situation, but I think, like, right. I said, all of those experiences and situations that I've been in has kind of led me to this passion of coaching and really helped me want to make the experience, you know, better for the next generation.
You've got some good experience there. We'll put a little bow on that just by saying that we talked about it off mic before a little bit, is that kind of the higher you go, things get hard and there's adversity and a lot of unexpected things happen. So I think for people to think that, you know, hockey players and parents, they look at players like you and players like Winnie and I, and they think like, oh, they've just had this glorious career, and we're not like over here crying in our soup or our beer or whatever, but because it's taken us around the world, it's been amazing, you know, but it's
and
hard,
and the people you meet, right?
It's hard, and
the
it's connection. Just like life, you get thrown curveballs and things like that. So let's change gears a little bit and let's talk about pro hockey. I'm interested, and Winnie, you've got some experience, pro hockey, Whitecap hockey. I'm going to let you kind of take this, but I might pop in. But I think it's amazing that, not amazing, I think it's great where the women's game is right now professionally. At least it seems that way. And, you know, when Minnesota's team had that big, it wasn't a sellout, but they had,
yeah,
you know,
the record-breaking
crowd and
first game.
People jumped behind it. And I think it's, we're in a good spot, so let's talk about pro hockey.
So, and what I've noticed with it, which is awesome, is just the parity of the league, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look from the top team to the bottom team, it's not very many points differential. So, kind of take us on those games, because it seems like every game you guys play, it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the draft and the free agency situations, like, clearly did a great job of spreading talent out around the league, and to see the support in every market, teams selling out their games, we're getting 10,000 people on weekend nights. It's been unbelievable, and I think it's exceeded everybody's expectations. You know, we always believed it would be here and get to this place, but to see it actually happen has been pretty surreal, and something that I think is going to take a little bit to set in still, as we're in the thick of it right now. But yeah, it's tough to get 3 points every night. Doesn't matter who you're playing. It's been a grind, but it's been a lot of fun.
How about getting a paycheck to play? That's pretty cool. I remember when I got my first paycheck.
It's a nice little perk.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
feels pretty good, right?
It's pretty surreal. Yeah, that is my job. That's my day job, right? I come to the rink, I work out, I skate, and hang out with the girls, and then you know, take a trip every once in a while to play some games. So.
Go shopping. You got all this money.
Right,
yeah. You know, just kidding.
Some
different rules in the league.
Yes.
So what? Talk about that a little
bit. Checking, right? That was a big thing.
Well, we talk about checking. Also, if you score a shorthanded goal, the jailbreak.
Yeah, my kids love that.
I love it too.
It's awesome.
And then there's a playoff contending format.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
I can. So obviously the checking, penalty kill stuff has kind of been touched on a lot. They just came out with our playoff format. Top four teams are making it. They're best of five series for semifinals and then the final. And the number one seed can pick who they want to play out of the third and fourth seed. So just a little added flair to it. So that'll be super interesting to see who kind of ends up on top of the standings and their strategy there. Maybe they're taking the fourth seed because they're the lowest seed. Maybe they think they match up better against the third seed or have a little inside info on them. So either way, it's going to be some bulletin board material. And I think, who knows, it's going to lead to some upsets too, because that's going to light a fire.
And then there's some element of if you're out of the playoffs – or you can't tank or something.
For draft order.
For draft order, talk about
that again. So once you're mathematically eliminated from playoffs, you still earn points towards your draft order. So basically it's not guaranteed that the last place team is going to be the first overall pick.
You can't tank.
It's going to be the team that played better of those two eliminated teams gets the first overall pick.
Oh, wow.
So it keeps it competitive all the way to the end.
Yeah, keep going.
So...
yeah, they're doing some cool things that way. I think the league is.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun for the players, too. Any rivalries that have set in yet? Not really. I mean, I know it's six teams, but.
Yeah, well, because it's six teams.
And usually it's Boston.
Yeah,
Minnesota, Boston, ever since we've been children, right?
We're seeing each other so much that you've come to hate everybody.
Hate everybody, right? That's what I was thinking.
Because
I'm like, right.
You see the same girls night after night. Yeah, it got heated in our last
It looks
Boston
heated in
game.
Every game, so that's why I was just curious. Is there one, you know, that was more so than the other? But I think it's because everyone was drafted all over the place and all the players are in
right, I think
different
every,
places to be hated.
Every team has a couple players where, like, the other teams can't stand. Yeah. Or, like, I think
or college rivalries, right, where you're like, you just hate playing against a certain player, right?
Exactly.
So it becomes more players versus the actual team.
Is there more chirping?
Anyone can relate?
More chirping in college or pro? Or same?
I don't know, because you in college, you'd have those girls that just run their mouth and are like, that's their role, they're funny about it. Like,
and
stuff
they're
like
good
that.
At it?
Yes.
Boyle was probably a chirper, probably a good
the
chirper.
Their mouth is always running,
Had a lot to say.
Yeah, nothing
makes it
crazy
fun.
That I've noticed more than in college, no.
Now I just say it in the stands where nobody can hear me.
Put Boyle on the mic.
Put Boyle on the mic.
I said, now I just say it in the stands where nobody can hear me.
And now we're going to shift to Boyle with coaching, because I've had the luxury of coaching with her and she does a fabulous job and all the kids love her and always want Boyle. But let's you talked about your adversity and all your experiences, and I know with my coaching that's why I got into coaching, because I wanted to make a difference in kids' lives positive, because people think that you have all the success like Tom said, but it's not always it's not always great, and I think you learn from your adversity to be a better coach. So let's go in. You're coaching Breck High School.
Yep.
You guys had a good season this year. Let's go into how it's been being a high school coach and what that's like.
It's been really cool. I mean, growing up out east, you always heard about the Minnesota State Hockey Tournament and, you know, the expo like this and all the cool stuff that goes on in Minnesota with high school. And I never really understood it because it wasn't the norm to play for your public high school or, you know, high school hockey in general out east. And so coming out here and getting my first taste of all that was really cool. Last year when I was out here, I went and watched Breck play, and you know, they were okay. They had 9 wins on the season and they played Holy Angels, and I said they spent 97% of the game in the D zone. Like, I didn't have to even really go like this to look down the other end of the ice. And I left that rink that day and I was like, you know, if I move out here, this is somewhere I want to coach. I want to help make this better. I want to build it back to what it was. Because obviously, you know, like Liz said, same age as Grace. You know, you always heard about Breck because Grace Zumwinkle was there. And, you know, someone like Melissa McMillan. You hear about all these players that went through there. And so getting the opportunity. And then Trisha Dunloma, who's the head coach there, is actually my godmother. She trained with my dad. She's from New Hampshire. So it was an easy kind of connection to get in there. But it was a lot of fun. We had a really young team this year. I think over 50% of our team is underclassmen. And just to see, you know, the passion that those kids bring to the rink every day, it becomes contagious. It forces their, you know, teammates to have to be better, but also forces us as coaches to have to be better and be more innovative and try to find ways, you know, to help continue to make them succeed and reach towards their dreams. And like Winnie said early on in the podcast, it doesn't necessarily feel like work because it's something I love doing. I love, you know, creating relationships with those players and being, you know, a difference maker in their lives, regardless of if it's at the rink or, you know, it's in their life outside of hockey. I think that's something that I really was fortunate to have, you know, when my dad was training with the training the national team. Like, I had amazing role models who not only cared about me as a player, but also as a person and making sure I was the best human being that I could be. And so now taking that, you know, taking that on as my responsibility to do that here for the next generation. So that's been really cool. And then I'm working at Breakaway Academy, which has been a super interesting opportunity and a lot of fun. So I work with 5th and 7th grade, both boys and girls. And so it's kind of been cool to take on the teacher role a little bit.
So it's off ice.
I am 2 hours on ice, 1 hour at the school.
Okay.
But just seeing, you know, the structure of the school and seeing how it all works is, it's genius. You get to play hockey at school. Like I always said, I said to my dad, I'm like, I would have applied there myself online before you even had the chance to say no.
But quickly explain, you know, for people that will just think, well, yeah, kids go there to play hockey and it's a fake school or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no, describe the school side of it.
Yeah,
and why it's legit, maybe.
The school side of it is great. You know, they do a lot of, I have fifth graders who talk about how they have presentations. Like, I remember doing my first presentation in maybe the eighth grade. These kids are learning life skills, like character traits and, you know, public speaking and collaboration, accountability, responsibility. You know, they're a list of probably 20 words that I can use to describe all of what they're learning. They're learning it through sports and they're learning it through the classroom. And so I just think that it's a very special approach on academics, and, you know, motivating kids who might be more sports driven than academic driven, but finding that happy medium of like, how can I drive you in the classroom just as much as you want to be driven on the ice?
Right.
And so it's been awesome to work there. You know, Dave Snuggard, Andy Brink, they're amazing.
I played with Dave in college.
Okay, yeah. So I really like Dave. He's awesome. And Andy and, you know, Gretchen Strimmel is the principal. It's just been super interesting to kind of watch it unfold throughout a year. You know, I've never really worked in a school setting.
Right.
And then J.P. LaFontaine, who is at the Braemar rink where I work out of, he...
formerly a Shattuck.
Yeah. He's got some really, really smart, creative drill ideas that I've been able to use a lot. I run some private lesson stuff in the morning, and being able to kind of take what I learned from him and learn each day at the rink and kind of putting it into my own game, you know, coaching game, it's just been cool. So it's been a very different approach on coaching than I ever thought that I would have, but I think it's taught me a lot.
And it is boys and girls, right?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, so I'm seeing one of my students actually walk by right now.
And it's fifth through...
The school I'm at is 4 through 8.
Four through eight, yep.
And then they have a primary school, which is K-3.
Yeah, and they're in two different buildings, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
No, awesome.
All right, Liz, I want to ask you about your game, because I don't know anything about your game. So what position are you?
Yeah, I play forward. I can play center or wing.
Okay.
I really try to be a utility player, if I'm honest. Like, whatever role that needs to be filled,
she's the
I'm
rink rat,
find
remember?
A way to fill it.
Yeah. But that's a good way to be, though, right?
Like, trying to stay valuable.
Yeah.
Trying to stay useful.
Keep that value and useful up. What about in college?
She's a goal scorer.
Were you a goal scorer?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a nice little college career, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun. Still looking for it here, but I know it's in there somewhere.
It's a next level up, right?
Yeah, it's a good league.
Strongest, like, what's your strongest trade on the ice? Are you skater, hands?
I wouldn't call myself a skater.
Hockey IQ.
I'm smart.
Shooter,
yeah.
Smart.
Very smart. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's an elusive quality, right? It's hard to... How do you think you got to be a smart hockey player? Because you weren't a good skater.
No. Yeah, seriously, work smarter, not harder, right? Like,
if I can't get there fast, yeah. I gotta get there through anticipation.
Exactly. Good sticks and yeah, good sticks. No. I've watched a lot of hockey. Hockey family. It was always on every night. I was always told, be a fan of the game, be a student of the game. And I think that's like little things that players growing up can do that will make a difference whether you notice it or not necessarily, or whether you know you're taking anything in or not. Just watch the game.
Through osmosis.
See what the great players do. Take something away from every game you watch and try to practice it, you know, in your practice or in a game. Just little things to think about. That's definitely a huge part of my game.
Yeah, I try to tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't think kids watch enough. Like, we used to watch all the time. I used to remember my parents, we'd play, and then we'd be hurrying up to a high school game to watch the, you know, finish of it, or run into, you know, the old Mariucci and watch the right. end of, you know, even if it was the second period or third period, we might be late because we had our own stuff, and then we'd be running in and watching. And I think that people are too focused on sometimes doing it, and they don't think that watching is valuable, but I think it's one of the most valuable things.
There's probably some that still live that way, but fewer and fewer. I mean,
and I think once again, social media, people don't have to go because they just pick up their phone and be like, "Oh, here's the score." So it's like a double-edged sword, right?
Such a
like,
dad it's great. Thing to say, but yeah, you're probably distracted by you've got entertainment in your hand, or you've got
instead
Netflix
of driving up to the local rink to watch the high school game because it's 5 minutes from your house, you're like, "Oh, I can just put it on here or there," and you're not getting the same vibe where you're giving the high school kids high fives or, you know, asking for sticks. Right. I remember going to the St. Cloud State hockey games watching my brother, and my favorite part of the game was waiting with all the guys with getting sticks. Like, that was the highlight of my weekend.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'll drive 2 hours to like try to get the Christian wooden stick, you know, that I got from Todd Kennedy, if he's listening, and I used it through Pee-wee's, I think, pretty sure, because I never broke sticks. But it's the little things like Liz is talking about that I think we sometimes miss out in life, that everything just wants everything too fast.
So. All right, so we got two natty champions, is that right?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Impressive.
Congratulations. Thank that's cool.
Uh-oh, are you a natty champ?
I lost in overtime. I would like to know.
You have three national champions then?
Yeah, we got.
And they're all females because the future is female.
I don't know. I happen to win a Stanley Cup, if that's worth anything. I don't know.
Right. You got us. Yeah, sorry.
Fine. I think that's on the top of the mountain is when it comes to hockey championships.
Yeah, pretty sure. I'd
like to know what you guys took away from those championship seasons and teams. Like, what's your lasting, like, what would you say, you know, it's kind of a rhetorical question coming from me, I guess, but talk about those teams, talk about the culture.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, being only a freshman, it was a little bit of a different situation for Liz as being a fifth year when it happened. But for me as a freshman, I was just in awe. I felt like I was living in like a dream world, seeing it all kind of go down and being a part of it. But that year at Clarkson, we had great leadership. Shay Tiley, she's from Minnesota. I think she's actually Canadian, but
Canadian,
I think she spent time in Minnesota.
A lot of people out east.
Monica
think
Moreland.
Canada and
Minnesota
it crosses over in my brain. And, you know, Savannah Harmon, who is playing for PWHL Ottawa, you know, you look at the people that were on our team too. We had unbelievable talent from top to bottom, but I think
A lot of Canadians.
As a freshman, they treated you well.
Yeah, it was a very inclusive, you know, group in the sense of. It didn't matter if you played 1 minute, no minutes, or 20, 25 minutes. Like, your value was the same. And I'll never forget, we had to scratch one player every game. And I said to my dad, I'm like, my role is going to be the best cheerleader and teammate I can be. Like, whatever I can be, if I have to be that energy, I'm going to do it. Because at the end of the day, if we make the national championship game, I want to dress. I want to be, like, in my gear in those photos.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the morning of the national championship rolls around and we get the lineup and I'm in it. And I'm like, yes, I made it. And my coach said, you got to bring the energy again today. He's like, that's your role. You got to bring that energy. Now, what I've loved to been on the ice playing and, you know, scoring goals and doing all that, yeah. But as a freshman, sometimes you have to accept that your role is not going to be exactly what you want it to be. You're not going to be the first line center as a freshman. It's pretty rare. And just, you know, understanding that.
Especially on a number one team.
Right. And I mean, I wasn't a number one player coming out of high school and, you know, it's just kind of accepting the role that you're given, but also pushing yourself and striving for more. If you're not happy with that role, if you're not comfortable in that position, what are you doing outside the rink?
Right.
Do more, because that's how you get better.
Right.
Yeah, and then my experience, you know, it's interesting, you know, she won it as a freshman, and it took me to my fifth year. You know, we'd been close so many times before in that Frozen Four that you guys won here in Minneapolis, and then another one in Erie that we fell just short of to Wisconsin in the Frozen Four. The season that was canceled due to COVID. Like, we just have been knocking on the door. That's the year we won our first WCHA tournament. So we were, like, rolling high, excited for the NCAAs.
In history, right?
Yep,
for
first
Ohio,
time ever.
For the Ohio State. Yep.
And then that one gets canceled. So then I feel like we had one really at least obviously my class, you know, we had one more shot at it. And it was a really unique year with so many transfers coming in. It was kind of the first time we'd seen that. And as the captain of that team, trying to get everybody on the same page with so many new faces coming in. I was the only one returning from my class for their fifth year, so I've really felt a lot of it on my shoulders, and could not have been luckier with the group that we ended up having. You know, you're always worried coming in with so many new faces, and what's it going to be like? How is this going to affect our culture? And it only made it better. Think about that group. I think about family. I think about all the teams before that pushed Ohio State to that point. Because my freshman year, the year before, we were below 500. You know, we were coming into a program that really hadn't had much success. Muzzy came in, blew everything up, made it her own, and got people to buy in. And I'm super fortunate to have been on that ride for 5 years and still supporting that team. But yeah, we from the first time that team got together, I remember we had an all-school, all-athletic department assembly, whatever, we're introducing the teams, like getting pumped up for the new school year. Muzzy grabs the mic and goes, Nadine Muzzerall, I coach the women's hockey team, and we're going to win the national championship this year. And it's September. We're like, oh, man, here we go. Like, time for us to hold it up.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, just speaking it into existence.
See, she just wanted to test you guys.
Exactly. Like, everything's a test.
Everything's a test.
But yeah, she was stepped up. She was dead on. Yeah, we had a great group, really deep. As talented as they are great people, and they bought into the culture and made my job so easy as a leader of that team. And yeah,
and
that's going to stick with me forever.
I think you said it, believe, right? Like, that's the biggest thing. If you have a coach that believes in you, you have a team that believes, you're going to have a lot of success. So
absolutely. It was a great year. Something that I'll remember forever.
I think we could end on that note.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's positive to end on, I think. Great having you two on here. This has been really fun, and you guys have had great careers, and good luck with the future, you know, both in the coaching side and on the playing side. We'll be hopefully, you know, our listeners and viewers will be watching and tuned in now, and they learned a few things. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, that was fun. Thank you, girls.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yep, good luck. Okay, so yeah, that wraps up this episode of Selly Hard. Thank you to Jimmy's and their dressings and dips. And we'll be back with another episode coming up soon.